Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. All Black introduces its latest scripted drama series tomorrow. Judge Me Not blends real and surreal happenings with its take on courtroom activity. Jesslyn Toler created the program and oversees its making as executive producer, and she will join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, News Note Quickies, our new classic trivia brain teaser, and what's with the mask, Drew Barrymore show? I'd like to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Podbean, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, it's a midweek Wednesday, and tomorrow will be televised. Thank all of you for tuning us in on this special late-than-usual Wednesday edition of the program all about TV's current and future. 69 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Delighted to have you with us. Once again, I want to welcome our new podcast affiliates and those of you tuning in through Podbay FM, Podchaser, and Pod Paradise. Great to have you all aboard. We have a wonderful guest in store for you who will join us shortly, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in. The number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, you can also use our chat room if you're shy about the phone. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Stream, and other people can be live with you. We will have News Note Quickies for you at the bottom of the hour. And right now, joining us live in Inner Radio System, you know her as the former judge on divorce court. You currently know her as one of the Marriage Bootcamp spinoff series hosts. And now she is the creator, writer, and executive producer of the new all-black series, Judge Me Not. It premieres tomorrow on that network, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's a pleasure to welcome to this program, Judge Lynn Toler. Judge, welcome into the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. And I understand you're calling from Arizona. Where in that wonderful state?
Phoenix.
Great. Wonderful city. So, Judge, when did you decide, I've done a lot in daytime courtroom TV, I'm doing great with relationship programming on WeTV, now is the time to jump off a cliff and say, look out, scripted TV world, here I come.
You know, jump off the cliff is an accurate term, too. I have been thinking about this for years. And then when the pandemic came, I didn't have nothing to do. I said, well, let me put it on paper. And my husband always says, why would you do something like that and not show it around? So he pushed me for about a year to do it. And then I finally started to shop it around, and there you go.
Mm. How long did it take to get from your brain as a creation to get to all black greenlighting it?
It was a long, circuitous route. You know what I mean? They took the pilot, and then I had to write all the episodes myself, and All Black is associated with WeTV, and we had had conversations, and it was kind of like a weird thing. It was really unusual. He says, oh, yeah, I heard you got a series. We're trying to do something new. Why don't you send it to me? I said, okay. And now it's on TV.
This is a series that is quite off the beaten path from most series dealing with legalities and the law, in that you have a judge that deals with real things and surreal things at the same time. How much of that is you?
The mental health issues are all me. She had to amplify them a bit for the screen and put them so they can be visual. But I have always been very honest on divorce court that I struggle with anxiety, depression, mental health issues, and that it is a real meaningful part of my personality. But the reason I wanted the judge on the show to have that is, number one, it's real. Number two, people are struggling and suffering all the time. Three, it's a taboo topic. And four, it doesn't make me less able. And in some ways, I think the things that go on in my head that are not standard issue sometimes help me do things that are not ordinary. When I do something extraordinary, I think that's the piece of me that allows me to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of conversations do you want viewers to have once they see these episodes, once they see this character, Zelma, deal with what's in the courtroom, what's out of the courtroom, what's really in front of her, and what is totally in her imagination.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be conversations about community because municipal courts, which is where it's placed, are places where regular people go when they get caught doing irregular things. So it's just interesting from that aspect. And I hope that they see Jay as a multi-layered, capable person, even though she struggles mightily with the issues at hand. It's a complicated love story, and it's also a bit of a mystery when she sees something or figures something out that nobody else believes, and she's not quite sure if it's in her head or if it's real or not. And by the end of the series, you figure out what's happening, why it's happening, and hopefully it's a very exciting ending.
Mm. How is municipal court different from small claims court, which is where most of the daytime courtroom situations take place?
Well, municipal courts handle a lot of things. They're different in different states, but in my court, we had I was the head of the municipal court, so we had traffic court, we had small claims court, we had criminal court, we had so you have all different levels of things that you deal with. My docket was mostly, however, criminal, misdemeanor crime, DUI, negligent homicide, a lot of domestic violence, things like that, assaults, that kind of thing. You know, we're ordinary people get jacked up and get introduced into the system at Muni Court.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Judge Lynn Toler. She is the creator, writer, executive producer of the new all-black dramatic series, Judge Me Not. It premieres tomorrow on that service, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. And the judge joins us live from Phoenix, Arizona, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, an Inner Radio exclusive. Simon Abbott with you live from New Haven, York. It's 69 degrees at the top of the hour. And let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First, the three back-to-back-to-back episodes we are doing on the program about TV's current and future this week. We're back tomorrow at our regular time at 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, and also we'll be on Friday at that very hour. And joining us Friday, we will have one of the most popular columnists that covers the world of sports and television very reverently. His name is Lloyd Carroll. He's been with us before. He is the columnist for the Queen's Chronicle, and he will be our lead guest. And then we'll have one of the top executives in Spanish-language television with us. He used to work for Univision, then for Telemundo, and now he is the chief revenue and local media officer for Estrella Media, which includes Estrella TV on broadcast and some interesting channels on smart TV sets, including the only Spanish-language game show channel with a lot of content produced in the U.S., Estrella Games. Steve Mandela is the person I'm talking about, and he'll be with us also. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And 1 week from Friday, among our guests, that'll be on June 2nd, one of our first June episodes, we'll have the co-founder and chief operating officer of Blavity, which does the Netflix Blavity TV, Jeff Nelson. Again, that's coming your way a week from Friday, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. How long did it take for you, Judge Lynn, to not only create the character, but write all the scripts? And did you even think about having a writer's room to help you out?
It took me a year to write all the scripts. And I was the writer's room. There wasn't any, and I was all by myself. So it was a Herculean task because I had never done anything like that before. And I wasn't altogether sure how it was done, but it was a steep learning curve. And with the help of All Black, they had some producers there that were very good and helped me frame it so it makes a good show every week.
And you also have the folks at Swirl Films, who have done a lot of great stuff.
Yes.
On All Black and other channels, made for TV movies, scripted and unscripted series. I think Eric has been on our program. The head of Swirl has been on our show a number of times. What kind of guidance did he provide, not only in terms of writing, but also just making the program?
He was great to work with because he had a sense of how things should go, the rhythm and the feel of it. And if you're in, you can watch a TV show, but you don't know how to get that rhythm and the feel of it. So Swirl and the director that he had, they all helped me, you know, tweak the script to allow it to do what it needed to do in the manner that it needed to get done.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to the person who plays you, I'm curious, was Night Court a inspiration in any way?
In a little bit. I used to love that show. I loved that show very much. That and Judging Amy, you're probably way too young to know what that one was. But, yes, Night Court, because it was funny, and it's so true. All the stuff they were doing, the crazy characters and stuff, you saw all of that, and I loved that show.
Me too. I saw it when it was really on NBC,
it
reruns,
hilarious.
Back, of course, on NBC now, with a female, by the way, in the Harry Anderson role as the judge. And I'm happy to say it's been renewed for a second season and finding its footing.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had Bull, the bailiff, on Marriage Boot Camp one year, being the bailiff in my courtroom, and that was a real thrill for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk about the person that plays you or plays the character of Thelma J. Johnson. Her name is Chyna Lane. Some people may know her because she was a featured performer on the Spike Lee television version of She's Gotta Have It, ran two seasons on Netflix. She was also in one of the Power book shows on Stars. I saw the trailer earlier today, and she is an amazing image of you. I mean, she has it, when you see this, it's like she has got your quirks, your character, your nuance down to a science.
Yeah, she blew me away. It's just like she's extraordinary. I could claim her as a daughter, and people would believe me. We look alike, and then she had the capacity to just look at me and imitate stuff, and then she did new things that allowed, you know, her to really show what was happening in her head and show it physically. So she did a fantastic job.
When you were casting, did you want somebody that pretty much had your characteristics, whether physical or speaking?
Physical was not important to me. It was, could she embody the emotionality of it? And it's just lucky that we happened to favor one another, because I just wanted a good actress, and whether or not she looked like me, I didn't really care. But she does, so it's even better.
How long did it take for her to get into the role? Did she ask you for guidance? Did you ask you for coaching? Like, what are your desires? What are your, you know, how do you rule on certain things or certain subjects, certain aspects of court cases? How much research did she do to be you or to be something like you?
Well, she did a lot. She called me when she first got the role, and we talked for a while, and then I told her that I had written a book about my life, and she said, and I sent it to her, and then she bought it on audio, and then she would call and ask me about different sections of the book. She got that deep into it. And then she cut her hair off so she could look like me, and, you know, sisters cutting their hair off, that's a deep commitment. And anytime she had a question or wondered whether or not or why I said something or what I would say, she would always call. We've had very good open lines of communication.
Mm-hmm. You also have somebody by the name of Jason Terrell, who makes really his debut as an actor in this program. And for those who know who Jason Terrell is, he was last year's winner of a national casting call, Shoot Your Shot competition, that All Black conducted with the American Black Film Festival, which, by the way, is happening next month in Miami. And I'm happy to say that they are showcasing a whale of new TV series pilots made by people of color, especially Black or African Americans, there down in Miami. And talk about Javen and working with him, particularly someone who is getting his big break through your series.
Yeah, Javon Terrell was a journey to get to. We had a whole lot of guys try out, and we had to narrow it down. And I got to tell you, it was a fun process just looking at good-looking guys, one right after another. We got five that we loved. We went down to Miami, and Javon, and everybody was good, but he just nailed it. And it was easy to say, yep, that's my guy.
What are some of the municipal cases that the character deals with?
Oh, it deals with a guy that can't tell the difference between liking a woman and whether or not he's his wife, which was true. It actually happened to me in court. There are cases of fights at schools, mothers, you know, on teachers, domestic violence cases that I've seen. There's also a fight scene in there, and my handling of it is the case I believe someone in Hollywood saw that allowed me to get on TV. So, because it kind of made the local newspaper. So there are a lot of them.
And as you were producing each episode, what was going through your mind about how to make this work, how to have the chemistry of the actors, make the characters come through, make even as surreal as it could get in the writing and the storylines believable to viewers?
Well, you know, I went down during the taping, and it was really good, especially in the beginning, because the director was very attuned to the fact that she wanted to make legal, logical sense. So she would ask me, I want to do this in this scene. Would that happen in court? Sometimes I say yay. Sometimes I'd say nay. Sometimes I say, woo, no, we can't go there. It allowed me to have enough input that it is as close to correct as possible and still be entertaining because, you know, there's just some pieces of the law that are just dry. So we had to skip those over and stick with the fun stuff.
Was the director new as well, a first-timer like yourself, or is this someone who had experience, and what was it like to work with that person?
The director was Honesty Edwards. This wasn't a first time for her, but she's a very young lady, and she was very, very good. It was extraordinary to watch her work, and I had never been behind the scenes of any show, any scripted show before, so... I didn't have any means by which to discern how well she was doing until I saw the product. And then I was like, oh, I like her eye. You know, I like how she looks at things.
When you were doing Divorce Court or you were doing Power of Attorney or you were doing the Marriage Boot Camp series or the other one that you just did, Commit or Quit for WE TV,
right.
Did you at times take a break to explore what the production was like, you know, behind the scenes, and looking back at that, would that have helped if you had done some of that then in terms of maneuvering your way through the world of scripted television?
You know, it's interesting. I'm always a nosy Nelly, so I want to know what everybody's doing. I talk to the sound guy and the lighting guy, and, well, what is that? Well, what do you do with that? Well, what goes over there? So I knew some of the technical aspects of it, but scripted is so different from unscripted, you know, about the blocking and the this and the that and the other things. So mostly I was just taking it all in. But I did have some familiarity with the equipment and this, that, or the other thing. But I drove everybody there crazy with questions about what was happening because it was a fascinating process to watch.
Mm-hmm. The program is Judge Me Not. It is All Black's latest original scripted series. It premieres tomorrow when All Black comes your way on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles all over the place. And by the way, it is a sister service of AMC Networks. And Judge Lynn Toler is the creator, the writer, and the executive producer. She is with us live from Phoenix, Arizona this half hour on Tamabi Televised Line. I have her delighted to have you with us as well for the program All About TV's Current and Future. 70 degrees, we come close to the bottom of the hour. If a question or comment on our remaining minutes with the judge, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our next half hour, we have news, no quickies for you. And yes, we will have some thoughts about the passing that we learned over about a half hour ago of Tina Turner at the age of 84 from Europe. And we'll also have some thoughts about a wonderful episodic director and movie director who I think should become a lot more known. His name is Leon Icacio. He passed away this weekend. And why you should know about him? He did some of the best episodes of TV shows like Miami Vice, Crime Story, and until recently, Queen of the South on USA Network. So we'll have some thoughts about him as well. And we'll have our new classic trivia question. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win a whole bunch of prizes, including a wonderful new book called Sons of Baseball, whose writer, former TV publicist Mark Graff, was on our program last week. So stay tuned. You could be our next classic trivia winner. That's coming up in our next half hour. While I have you, Lynn, your thoughts about Tina Turner, and was she an inspiration to you as you were doing your thing?
You caught me in the chest with that one. I hadn't heard. I loved me some Tina Turner. I mean, Angela Bassett wore it out in What's Love Got to Do with It, and her voice and her ability to get out of that situation with Ike was, oh my God, I just loved that woman. I mean, really, I did not know.
Yeah,
we got the word
about a half hour ago. She passed away in near Zurich, Switzerland at her home. She was 83. Apparently she had a long illness. I grew up watching her performances on television. I saw her live in a performance at an MTV Video Music Awards. It was done at the Palladium Theater, the old Palladium Theater on 14th Street in Manhattan.
Nothing like her.
From first to last, she was a very amazing, incredible, full of energy, dynamite woman.
Oh, man, she was so cool. I mean, what she did on stage, she was just electric. Ah, that's terrible.
And as she said in one of her songs, simply the best.
Yes, simply the best. She really was. She really was.
And again, more to say about her in our next half hour. And going back to your series, when I was watching the trailer this morning, two previous television series came to mind. One was a series from the 1960s called Breaking Point, which was one of the first few television series dealing with the world of psychiatry and had a number of episodes about mental illness in various forms. And the other was a series that was done on Oprah Winfrey Network several years ago called David Makes Man, with a brilliant pilot, was put together by the Oscar-winning co-writer of Moonlight. And in watching some of the surreal sequences, your sequences reminded me of both shows because of how surreal they were, how you got inside the head of this character, and also how she was dealing with it, how it sort of came out as sort of crazy to people around her.
Right, yeah. You know, and it was important to do because it's hard to understand how somebody else is feeling. You can say it, you can talk about it, you can lean on it, but if you can see it and feel it and touch it, it becomes far more real. So it was very important to me to have that ability to have some surreal moments that allowed you a peek inside the emotional upheaval going on in her head.
Incidentally, you can see episodes of Breaking Point on YouTube, and I hope David Makes Man is not there, it ought to be there. That opening episode of the first season is an all-time classic in my book.
I'm going to check it out. I haven't seen it. I'm going to check it out.
It's marvelous. As I said, the Terrell McCauley, I believe, who is the Oscar co-writer with Barry Jenkins of Moonlight, did that series, created, wrote a number of the episodes. It's brilliantly done. A lot of wonderful talent was in that show. And the actor who played David was extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary, Judge.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
Do. I think you'll be very well rewarded. Judge, since you left divorce court, do you keep in touch with what goes on in the world of daytime courtroom TV?
Not really. I talked to Star Jones before she took it over. I happened to be there on the day when she started, so that was nice because I had never met her before, and that was wonderful. And I do understand, you know, the landscape has changed so much. I mean, when Warner Brothers or whoever got out of the business and People's Court and Judge Mathis went off, I was surprised. They were such staples. It's unfortunate because I really enjoyed those shows.
I did too, and I'm happy to say that Byron Allen has cornered both of them and said, come work for me. And it seems like Byron Allen has become the new kingpin of court TV. He's got, like, Judge Hatchett, Marilyn Beyond, M.A.K. Williams is doing a new show starting this fall.
Maybelline.
And Milan show start this fall as well, and it'll be carried on TV stations, on Local Now, the multi-channel bundle, on Grio, this other one of his key other networks, and so on. It just seems that Byron has had this incredible streak of building this daytime court, you know, this court empire, and being able to showcase it in so many ways.
Yeah, he's an incredible dude. We talked before, and I mean, he's just he has a great mind for business.
He does. He had his first upfront event here in New York at the Ava restaurant across the street from Rockefeller Center, and nailed it. And Judge Mathis and Milan were with him, and Emily Williams too. And the advertising people, press people, and so forth could not get enough of catching Allen and talking to the judge and so forth. He is an amazing entrepreneur as they come, and who knows, he may get BET. Tyler Perry might. We'll see. We'll have to see what happens. What's interesting though about the court scene now, aside from Byron sort of being the kingpin of it, is that it is hanging in despite the fact that syndication ratings and viewership has gone way down. Time periods are tough to get by, and shows like Divorce Court and newcomers like Relative Justice and Court in Providence. We had the judge for that series on several years ago. still are finding their way to viewers and getting very good reaction in terms of showcasing to some degree how the law is handled.
Yeah, it's humanity and conflict meets a resolution, and everybody loves to watch that. So that's, I think that's why court shows are so popular and are such staples, because everybody likes the interesting, the conflict, and a solid resolution at the end. It's satisfying.
When you were doing divorce court, did you have a chance to go see other judges like Judge Mathis or Judge Judy or other judges that were holding court at the same time you were?
Judge Judy and I were on the same lot for a while, so I went over there and talked to her, and she was so delightful. I mean, just I had my son with me, and he was just wonderful. I knew Mae Blean. I've been on shows with, you know, you remember Joe Brown and Judge Alex. We all were on the Tyra Banks show, and I got Tyra to say hello to my son, so that was like made me the best mother ever. And, yeah, so I knew a lot of them, and I watched them, you know, I watched them, too. I really loved them.
Yeah, I remember Judge Joe Brown. I still see some of the reruns of his work on YouTube. And, hey, that man could fly. When he knew something was up, and same thing with Judge Judy, when he knew that someone was being irresponsible, he lowered the boom, and he didn't wait until, like, you know, lowered the boom.
Yeah, you didn't play with either one of those judges. That's why I loved watching them, because it was just so funny to, you know, just watch them just go straight for the juggler.
Mm-hmm. Judge Lynn, if you get a second season from All Black for this series, what do you want to take the program? Where do you want? What subjects would you want to cover?
I would take the program toward the polarization of our communities. There's hints of it in this season. But I'd like to delve deeper in, you know, how polarized and tribal we have become, how it manifests itself, and possibly some ways to, like, you know, different ways to look at it. Because if we don't change the trajectory, it's going to become, I mean, it's already problematic, but it's going to just become, it'll tear us apart. And so that's where I want to take it.
And finally, what have you learned about yourself, about the power of television, from being on this side of the arena, the scripted side, as opposed to the unscripted side, whether it was courtroom, whether it was relationship, marriage boot camp, I believe you still have Commit or Quit on WeTV, being engaged in a scripted venture versus another television venture?
I think it allowed me to see a calmer side of myself, you know, because when you're writing a script, you're alone with that computer, and you have to stay honed in and solid, and it's quiet. It's a very solitary thing. When I'm on TV, they're asking for loud and poppy as you can go, and so I've learned a quieter, more calmer side of myself, because I had to pull her out in order to write all of the scripts.
Judge Me Not, starring Chyna Lane as Zelma J. Johnson. It premieres tomorrow on All Black, All BLK. That's available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. More details about the program online, go to www.allblk.tv. That's www.allblk.tv. Judge Me Not, put together by our guest, Judge Lynn Toler. That takes place starting tomorrow on All Black, All BLK. Judge, thank you very, very much for a wonderful half hour talking with you. Congratulations on this new phase of your career in TV. Hopefully it's the beginning of a long-running one, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, Judge Lynn. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care. All the best to you as well. Bye-bye.
You got it. Judge Lynn Toler joining us live from Phoenix, Arizona, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we come back, News No Quickies, our classic trivia question of the week, our thoughts about the passing of Tina Turner and Leon Aicazzo, and Drew Barrymore Show. Why is everybody in your studio audience wearing masks? Guess what? The pandemic is over. More about that as well. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, streaming.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for the B-side. It's one of the best music shows on radio around, and you can catch the next episode tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, to B-side, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised on this special Wednesday edition of the Promo About TV's current and future. 70 degrees and beautifully sunny here in the Big Apple at the bottom of the hour. Sam Oppen with you live from wherever you are. Thank you again for joining us, whether you're with us live or you're with us on replay through our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and our fast-growing number of podcast affiliates, including our newbies as of this week, podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Podparadise. And now it's time for our regular feature that we usually do at the top of the hour, but we're doing it at the bottom because we want to get as much time as possible with our guest today, Judge Lynn Toler, and that is News Note Quickies. Prime Video brings back The Wheel of Time for its second season, September 1st. Season 1 episodes get a run on Amazon Freebie from July 14th to August 14th. Survival of the Trickest, or The Thickest, I should say. That's Survival of the Thickest, based on essays from star and executive producer Michelle Buteau, arrives on Netflix July 13th. Sylvester Stallone is 2 for 2 with Paramount Plus first-run series renewal. With scripted Tulsa King headed for a second season earlier this year, unscripted The Family Stallone has now a second season greenlight. Unscripted Hulu original Secrets and Sisterhood, The Cesars, turns on June 7th. A group of new series will debut on Canyon Star Television in the coming weeks. They include RC's Social Saloon, The Design Tourist, Firehouse Kitchen, and Breakpoint. We had an interesting conversation about Canyon Star with its founders, and they were with us earlier this year on Tomorrow Be Televised. You can check out that episode at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, as well as our podcast sites and our website. Breaking news in Prime Video, the mega content Amazon unit is given the go-ahead to create Butterfly, a 6-episode spy saga starring and produced by Daniel Day Kim. And if you have not heard the news, about a half hour ago, we learned that music superstar Tina Turner, who did a lot of television appearing on concerts, award shows such as the MTV Music Awards here in New York at the Palladium Theater in 1 year, in the 80s, well, Tina Turner passed away earlier today at the age of 83. She died at her home near Zurich, Switzerland, after months dealing with a long illness. She was one whale of an entertainer. And, of course, her story very inspirational because of her situation with her former husband, Ike Turner. Her songs, everything from Simply the Best, Private Dancer, What's Love Got to Do With It, they became a movie starring Angela Bassett, which won an Oscar nomination for. Her song for Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, her performance in that film, all great moments in an incredible career. Her work also inspired a Broadway musical and much, much more. Again, Tina Turner passed away earlier today at the age of 83. If you love music, you will find her a profoundly missed person. And hopefully her music will live on for all of us who love music and all of us who love a very inspirational life. And that is News Notes for today. In a moment, we'll have some thoughts about a sensational director of both film and particularly episodic television, Leon Achazo, who died this week at the age of 74. He's someone you ought to know if you don't. And we'll get to that shortly. Plus, what is it with the Drew Barrymore show audience wearing masks? All of them, bunched together, coordinated. Do they know the pandemic is over? More about that coming up, too. But right now, time for our new classic trivia question. For those who are tuning in for the first time, we do this every episode. We have a classic trivia question. And if you are first with the correct answer, you win prizes. And we have a bunch of prizes for you now. First up, we have a Starbucks award card courtesy of the BBC. We have the Canela Kids coloring book based on their popular series Super Ellis, which pays tribute to great Latina women. And we have crayons accompanied with. And now, our new prize is the new book, Sons of Baseball, Growing Up with a Major League Dad, by Mark Graff, the former TV publicist who was on our show last week to talk about this book. It's his first. It's published by Roman and Littlefield. We want to thank them for donating the book. And all of that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the family that hired the nanny on The Nanny, the CBS series starring Fran Drescher in that role that ran from 1993 to 1999. Name the family that hired The Nanny on The Nanny. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. When you email, please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first to get the answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Once again, the question, it's brand new, name the family that hired the nanny on The Nanny. We want the family's last name. Again, name the family that hired the nanny on that CBS comedy starring Fran Drescher, The Nanny, which ran from 1993 to 1999. SimonApple04 at yahoo.com. That's the email you use to get your answer in. Do so today, and all the very best. If Leon Achazo is not familiar to you, he should be. I believe he's one of the best episodic directors that TV ever had. He was stylish. He was brilliant. He was especially good at crime dramas. And he got some television series like Crime Story off the ground in great fashion. I will always remember the first episodes of that series starring Dennis Farina, a former Chicago cop, as someone trailing a mob boss, Ray Luca, played by Anthony Denison. Those first couple of episodes were just dynamite. They were stylish. They had flair. They had great character. They had great set designs, production design, and sometimes a handheld camera that just did its thing, especially when there was a robbery with shooting in a jewelry store. It was absolutely amazing. And that was just one of the TV series that Leon Achazo did, like Miami Vice, like The Equalizer, and many, many others over the course of a wonderful career that continued until recently when his last episodes, five of them, were done for the USA Network series Queens of the South, that ran three seasons on that network, one of the last original scripted series that that network had. He also was known for some very exciting features. In fact, he made his debut as a director with a feature in Spanish called El Super, which remains a classic on the Spanish-language movie circuit. And then he did a wonderful film that a lot more people should know about called Crossover Dreams, about someone who was trying to make it both as Latino and in the general public's eyes. And it was that Crossover Dream that led to his consistent work as an episodic TV director. Leon Achazo passed away this weekend at the age of 74. He had stopped doing work for several years, and I hope that YouTube will run the episodes of Miami Vice and Crime Story and The Equalizer and many other shows he did in the 80s, 90s, and beyond. I think when the record is written, he will go down as one of the very, very best. He was innovative. He had great flair. He had a great eye for drama. He had a great eye for talent. He had a great eye for outstanding camera work. He tried things, and usually the choices he made, sometimes far out, they paid off more than not. Leon Achazo passed away at the age of 74. Like Tina Turner, when it comes to episodic TV directing, simply the best. And now, a comment. In case the Drew Barrymore Show hasn't heard, the pandemic is over. It's gone. The coronavirus pandemic is no longer. We're now in the endemic phase, which means people do not have to wear masks all over the place, whether it's on the subway, whether it's traveling from one place to another, in restaurants, and yes, in television shows. So it's amazing to me that I was watching The Drew Barrymore Show, which incidentally is a fast-rising show now in its half-hour or two-half-hour format. Here in New York, it's on 9:30 a.m. on WCBS-TV. Flagship CBS affiliate here in the Big Apple. And yet, here we are in May of 2023, and everybody in that studio audience is wearing coordinated masks. In today's episode, orange. I kid you not, orange. And again, remember that we have been now more than a year, actually over a year, that we have seen masks drop in subways, in buses, in restaurants, in theaters, all over the place, at ballroom dance shows I go to. We are back to the – we are now in the next normal. But and you wouldn't understand it if you were watching the Drew Barrymore Show. Why the heck is everybody bunched together in rows still wearing masks? It's like you're back in a time warp. So I would like to make a suggestion to the producers of the Drew Barrymore Show, especially since Drew is not wearing a mask. The guests are not wearing a mask. As far as I know, the camera crew is not wearing a mask, and maybe the people in the control room are not wearing a mask in the theater where it's being produced. So if anybody from the Drew Barrymore Show is listening, here's my recommendation. Stop the mask. Let it be a choice, not a mandate, and get with the program. The pandemic is over. We are in endemic next normal phase. and happy to be there. And since everywhere else in New York City, it looks like it's working without masks, why not try it on starting now? Your audience will appreciate it, and so will your viewers. Again, thank you to Judge Lynn Toler for being on the program today. In case you missed the first half hour, the show is Judge Me Not, and it premieres tomorrow on All Black, All BLK, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. And again, the website to know more is www.allblk.tv. So thank you to the judge for being with us. Thank all of you for tuning us in. Again, thank you to our wonderful new podcast affiliates and all of you tuning in through podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Pod Paradise. We'll be back tomorrow at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And coming away Friday, we have as our guest, we'll have the wonderful and very, very talented and sometimes very reverent columnist for the Queens Chronicle, Lloyd Carroll, talking TV sports, and television. And Estrella Media Chief Revenue and Local Media Officer, Steve Mandela. And 1 week from Friday, we will finally have from Blavity, which runs Blavity TV, the co-founder and chief operating officer of that organization, Jeff Nelson. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage. It's there for you, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can also check us out anytime on our podcast. We now have 17 podcast sites taking our program. Most of them getting episodes as soon as we go off the air within seconds, and that includes the ones I mentioned just a moment ago. So check them out, like Spotify, like iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, TuneIn.com, Spreaker Podcast, as well as Verbal and Podbean and Player.fm and others. And you can also check out our wonderful website, TomorrowBeTelevised.com. That's TomorrowBeTelevised.com, managed by the fine people at On Podium. We love hearing from you, so if you have a question or comment, oh, by the way, I'll tell you what. Our good friend Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, has just joined us. Let's put him on. Rick, are you there?
Hey, Simon. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Rick. What's up with you?
I just wanted your take, since you got about 10 minutes left on your show, to whether you've seen the last two basketball games and what your impression is of the way it's being covered. Because, I know it's made the news a few times, so I really paid attention yesterday to last night's game where, well, first, during the Lakers game, the Lakers got swept in four. And the last 2 minutes of, once Denver won that series, They cut to Denver, the group of them hugging each other and all for like 5 seconds. And then for the next minute and a half, it cut away from them winning to LeBron James and Anthony Davis, like leaving the court, like kind of talking to people, waving to people, looking disappointed, that sort of thing. It was more the story, and I guess their hero's journey was more about LeBron James than the actual winners. And then last night, I kind of noticed the same thing. It seemed like I'm not a fan of Boston by any means, but it definitely seemed like they were rooting for Boston. And the announcers, every time Boston would score, he'd go, yes, And then so I watched, and I noticed they did it four times in a row, and then Jimmy Butler scored, and all three announcers went silent for like 4 seconds. It was like dead air for 4 seconds. There was like none of them sound. And then the next time Boston scored again, the same thing, right back to yes on the score. And I was like, wow. And I just wanted your insight and where maybe I could learn more about how the producers go through before, like the pregame, a series or each episode and say, okay, we're going to, LeBron's going to be the hero of this game. So really play him up. Then we're going to make, Jimmy Butler more the villain. So we're not going to cheer as hard for him or whatnot. It was just very obvious. So I don't know whether it's manufactured drama and they're just trying to stir people up, kind of like Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley do, or what it was. I really wanted your opinion because I know you've been a sports analyst at times.
Well, let's take it one at a time. First of all, with the Laker-Denver game, as well as with the game last night, Boston and Miami, I'm sure that in the pregame session with the executive producer and the producer and director of the game, the announcers, the play-by-play, and the commentators go over various scenarios. Like, what would happen if it goes to a game five in either case, or it goes to the, or it ends right then and there? How do you respond to it? You got to remember that many times play-by-play and commentators are reacting to the moment, and they should be as fair as possible. Going back to the Laker game, Mike Breen, who incidentally won the Best Play-by-Play Award, the Sports Emmy Award on Monday night here in New York, I thought he handled things very, very well for the most part. I thought they were very even-handed when I tuned in and out, along with Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy. I thought they handled it pretty well. I think the question is, should the director have, when they had the shot, the live shot of the Denver crowd celebrating, he should have stayed on a lot longer than like 4 or 5 seconds. And I get that there was the whole, you know, here's LeBron James, here's Anthony Davis, is this the last game for LeBron? And he sort of suggested afterward in the press conference, if you heard about it, that and he also talked to an ESPN reporter on site, that he has to make up his mind whether he'll play another season. And again, it's in the moment. I am surprised about what you said with the game last night, because Kevin Harlan, he's one of the most excitable, wonderful play-by-play people around. That would not be in Kevin Harlan's bailiwick to do that. Especially, he is as excited about one team getting a dunk or a great shot from three-point land as the other team. So that does surprise me. I was in and out last night of the game on TNT, and I think Reggie Miller, by the way, and Stan Van Gundy have gelled as a team. I think it's the first time they've worked together all season on TNT with Harlan or with Ian Eagle or whoever. So that does surprise me that they had that moment of silence when Butler scored and looked like the Heat were getting back in the game or really starting to take control, and then the Celtics get hot and ultimately run away with the game. So a lot of it is in the moment, but in the pregame situation, they should be discussing various scenarios, and they should be warned, like, don't go overboard on, you got to be in the moment, but don't be overboard in a biased way, one team toward another. So that, so particularly with the TNT situation, that is surprising that you got that impression of the bias toward Boston.
Yeah, because I was specifically looking for it. This is a fun way because, again, you know, the Sixers are out of it. So, you know, once the Philly home teams are out of it, I care less, to be honest. But I still watch. So I just specifically looked for that, for how they were announcing and how excited they were one way or the other. And I'm sure somebody will probably do a video.
Just interrupt for a second. And also keep in mind that the Celtics were coming off a blowout, embarrassing performance, and that may have had something to do with it too. You know, this sort of storyline of, are the Celtics, who were so embarrassed on the Heat's home court in the game before Game 3, are they going to come out the same way and lose, or are they going to come out and fight for their lives? And I think the ferocity that ultimately in that third quarter, in the fourth quarter, the Celtics were fighting for their lives and ultimately, you know, got the first game of that series and now are 3-1 behind. And that may have had something to do with it too.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure. And that's why I mentioned the producers at first, because I know the announcers don't have full say to just go out there and say 100% whatever they want. I know there's higher-ups that are directing some of it. And that's what I was really interested in because, you know, for the first part, most of my life, I didn't know that. And then until later and working in the business a bit, then I seen and heard it. Hey, we're going to promote this or we're going to, you know, make sure you mention this several times. And, you know, and I became more interested in the behind the scenes stuff. And I know, you know, some about it as well. And it was just interesting as a being more of a passive viewer, being a Philly fan, I wouldn't notice as much, but now being more passive towards these teams, I noticed it a lot.
And one thing, Rick, that I'm noticing, too, is that particularly with these NBA playoffs, where we're now almost, we have one finalist set, another could be going on Thursday, is that there's been a real hone in on individual performances. You know, in the case of the game with the Lakers and the Nuggets, you know, Jokic's performance versus LeBron James' performance. That, you know, the Lakers lost despite a 40-point performance by LeBron James, who's 38 years old, in his 20th season in the league, and that has something to do with it, too. And in the same case, you have Butler, who has been really amazing in all the games with Miami, including the game last night, and Tatum, who had that 50-point performance, a couple of games ago. You've had these incredible historic point triple-double performances by the likes of a LeBron James or likes of a Jimmy Butler or likes of a Jason Tatum, and that also, I think, is playing into what's going on, how the announcers are reacting.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It's just I found it interesting and almost egregious in a way, I guess, if I was a fan of the like Miami or of Denver, I might be offended a little bit, but I'm just watching.
Yeah, and if social media picks up on this, you better believe that TNT will hear it, and so will ABC and ESPN when it gets to the NBA Finals round in terms of trying to be even-handed with the teams. It is shaping up either way, whether it's Boston Miami that plays Denver. It will be a very interesting finals. And it'll be interesting to see how they do play it and whether they try to and how they build up the interest, because in terms of television markets, Boston and Miami are not as attractive television markets as Boston, Los Angeles would have been.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that's what they were hoping for. I'm sure the networks were hoping for a Laker-Boston matchup. So it's understandable. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your insight, Simon. And, I always know who to go to for the best insight. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Rick. Thanks for bringing the issue up. I do appreciate it. Take it easy. Have a great time in Philly today.
Thanks, Simon. You too. Enjoy the weather.
You got it. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, joining us here late in the game and great in the game, too, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And by the way, we should point out that the Stanley Cup playoffs are now reaching the semifinal stage. Both those games are, by the way, 3-0. And it'll be interesting to see whether, given the new version of HBO Max, now Max, whether because the TNT will be carrying the Stanley Cup finals, whether Max will simulcast the games live now. As opposed to getting him on a tape delay, given the fact, again, that if you have Florida versus Vegas, Las Vegas, again, it might not be attractive as another matchup in the National Hockey League. And, of course, good luck to all the teams still in that Stanley Cup championship hunt. Again, we'll be back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. And, again, we love hearing from you, like we did from Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name, where you're emailing from. Remember, say get involved with our classic trivia question. You also can get involved with our regular feature show to know. Is there a TV series you like that doesn't get enough attention? We want to give it the attention, and let's hear from you. So email me, and when you do, put down the name of the show, when it's on and so forth, so that we can, if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can use that to email me anytime you like. Love to hear what you think about the show, about our guests, and your thoughts generally about where TV is at and where it is going. You can also find me on social media, Facebook and LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate, we communicate back with you in 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. Simple as that. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not affiliated with Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. But tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We are back tomorrow at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, all of our podcasts and website destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe. Please make it great for you and others you love. And think of Tina Turner. What an incredible talent she was. Simply the best. Till the next time, stay well and stay tuned.